Let's dive into it. Kirk, Chief Brogman down in O'Fallon, thank you for the amazing shirt and the patch. I've been wearing it all around Northbrook and the northern suburbs, and everybody's like, isn't that in Missouri? And I'm just like, no, that we have a town in Illinois called O'Fallon,
We
and
actually were first.
I'm
We were the
sorry.
first O'Fallon. They were the second. Just you put that on the record.
And you have to be Irish in order to of Irish descent to live in the town, or else they kick you out. So, why don't you tee up the show, what we're talking about, community involvement, community policing, all the different types of community, the way the community gets involved, and thought I'd let you dive deeper into that, Chief Brogman.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. So today we're talking about like volunteers and policing. We have our police officers, we have our civilian employees, we have our dispatchers, we have all those. But what a lot of people don't know is a lot of the people that work behind the scenes to help us accomplish our mission, and that's our volunteers. I think when you look around the country and you look around the state and all these different departments, whether it's just one or two people or an entire division of volunteers, you're gonna see that your police department has a lot of people that are helping them accomplish the mission, because we just can't do it alone, and we can't do it. There's not enough hours in the day to try to get everything that we want to accomplish, all of the community initiatives, all of the extra stuff that you see your police department do. Isn't always done by the people that are getting paid for their job. It's not being done by the officers, the civilians. What we're finding a lot is that we need to supplement that. And in order to provide the services that our citizens expect from our police departments, we rely a lot on our general public and our volunteers. And what does that look like? It looks like a lot of different things in a lot of different areas. And we've got a couple of people with us today. They're going to talk about how they have volunteered in their community and what they do and how they got involved. So I think it's going to be an exciting show. And we're going to just kind of open it up to just give people a little backstory on, what our volunteers do and maybe how you can get involved and help in your organization, in your police department. Because believe it or not, if you've got a certain skill, a specialty, there's opportunities for you to get involved and to help out with your community and to help out with your police department. So I'd like to, I'll push it back to you, Dave, to maybe
Yeah.
introduce our guest and kind of go from there.
We have Catherine O'Keefe, who's helping out the Lincolnshire Police Department, the president of our fine organization, Chief Lee. I always mess up Joe's last name. Leonis?
Leonis.
Leonis. Chief Leonis, Joe Leonis, put together a task force or a community group, if you will, that Catherine is part of, that she's going to talk about it. And we have. Is it Officer Finnan, or is it
Officer
did I,
Finnan, yes.
Officer Finnan,
Yes.
who
Yes.
is on the force of the O'Fallon PD with Chief Brueggemann, and talk about his experience getting involved in policing and still involved in a volunteer role. And but we'll start ladies first. So Catherine O'Keefe, you've got a background that qualifies you to participate in policing because you are a licensed and registered a veterinarian, right? Which is a huge natural segue into policing, as everybody knows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I go from, doing surgeries and no, I absolutely knew nothing, which is actually why I volunteered. It was about 4 years ago, I think, when Chief Leonis, and I'm glad you went first with his name because I was
Yeah.
really scared to be the one to
I
mess
always
up.
mess it up. I always mess it
He's
up.
so understanding and so kind that we always do it to him. He created his Chief's Citizen Council for Police Operations, and it was just, a little blurb in our village newsletter that he was looking for volunteers, wanted to sort of connect with the community a little more directly. And I think I think it may have come out of one of our council members had reached out to him just with some questions and concerns. It was around the time of the whole defund the police thing. And I think that's one of the reasons I got interested was there's all these opinions. I have tons of opinions, but I didn't have any knowledge. And yes, I wanted to help, but selfishly, I wanted to learn.
Yeah.
Because having opinions without information leads to a whole lot of trouble. So the first couple of years we'd meet every other month or so. The chief gave us a lot of background information on policing in general, but particularly Lincolnshire policing, which I'm sure is very different than, say, Chicago or even Northbrook or O'Fallon. Just everybody's got their own, every community's got their own style. So we learned a lot. We talked about hiring. That was a real focus for the first year or so, trying to get more officers, what caliber of officers, changing requirements a little bit. There was the whole, I guess once upon a time, tattoos were absolutely visible tattoos, verboten. Now we're a little bit more, relaxed about that. Did we actually need a college degree? Do you need a college degree to be a good police officer? These are things that we discussed, we learned about, and then it's turned into something more. Our police department has started having an annual open house, and the members of this C3PO committee, as it's abbreviated, participate. My daughter has been helping out with it. She's kind of decided she's a junior police officer and she helps with lead the open house, she thinks.
Cool.
It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful and it's been very educational.
All right, let's go down to Officer Finn. See, how'd you get involved, bud? And why did you get involved? And what was the spark that made you want to volunteer and get involved in your local police force before becoming a police officer?
Well, I started volunteering when I was in college back in 2012. I'd always known that the city had this local emergency management volunteer group and that they helped out with local planned community events. And I've always been really proud of my hometown and proud to be where I'm from. We have the world's largest ketchup bottle in Collinsville, and we're very proud of that.
You should
But
be. You should
other than
be.
that,
Pretty massive.
that's there's a deep felt sense of community in Collinsville that I grew up a part of, all the way from my grandparents. Like I can't go anywhere in town without being recognized as related to my grandfather. He was a local PE teacher for several decades, and I really wanted to find my place in the community and be a part of it and give back to it. And this was an opportunity that I could go and do something to, be proud of and give back to Collinsville. So,
And what made you transition into becoming a police officer?
COVID. I started my career. I have a degree in technical theater. So lighting, sound, stagecraft. If you want to hang something from the ceiling, I'm your guy. I'm a certified rigger. But there came a day that we couldn't have more than five people in the same room, and made it very difficult to have a live event. And my brother-in-law is a Michigan State Trooper. My best friend's a local cop, and there's a couple older gentlemen in my life that I kind of looked up to as mentors, and they all kind of collectively said, "Hey, we know what you can do," and applied, and O'Fallon hired me, and it's the most fun I've ever had.
So, Chief Brogman, is that what you're seeing now? The you're not going to school for what's the
For
angle that,
criminal justice,
yeah,
yes.
criminal justice or whatever the other pass that you could do. We've got a rigger over here, right? That is out of business because you can't hang heavy stuff because of a worldwide pandemic. And looking to transition. I just talked to a guy. He was a police officer. He left. He went to become a garbage hauler. And he left that. Now he's thinking about going back to becoming a police officer because he wanted to have more. I don't know why he decided to become a sanitary worker from a police officer. But he's like, I'm thinking about going back. I'm like, okay, when you go back and get a job, we can get you a loan. So, are you seeing a lot of that? And is what Lincolnshire is doing with loosening the requirement of a college education helping you attract new prospects?
Yes, I think you are seeing that a lot, and I think Catherine can probably attest to this as well, as when they tend to look at what you really used to want in a police officer. And I've been doing this for 26 years, and I've been in the hiring process and doing a lot of the hiring stuff for probably the last 10 years. And one of the first things that we always looked at is, you'd look at people who wanted to be a police officer, and we're like, well, how long have you wanted to be a police officer? And some people be like, well, for about 6 months ago, I started thinking about it. And 10 years ago, I would say, well, come on. 6 months ago, that's nothing. We want somebody who's wanted to be a police officer their entire life, because
Right.
they were knocking down the doors 20 years ago trying to get in because they wanted to be a police officer. But we've shifted perspectives and we've taken a look at that. And I distinctly remember when Chad interviewed with us and had an amazing interview. And I kind of looked at some of the other board members and I was kind of like, do you see him as a police officer? And I was like, because he didn't fit the mold of what our police officers had been 20 years ago, right? And we talked about it, and we're like, yeah, I mean, he's exactly what we are looking for in a police officer, somebody who communicates well. And that's not just somebody who's always just wanted to be a police officer, always wanted to be a cop, and all this stuff like that. We're looking for people with diverse backgrounds, and that was a perfect thing with Chad, is that he had that diverse background. He had the ability to communicate with people, a lot of different people. And I think Catherine's probably seeing that. You look past those stereotypical things of, a police officer with no tattoos and clean shaven. You can see Chad here is looking like he's a mountain man, actually not that bad. He looks really nice. But we're adjusting. We're adjusting to the times, and he fit that mold of somebody that, was interested in public service. And we saw that from his role on that emergency management team over in Collinsville. And that's what we're looking for today in these police officers. So, yeah, it's definitely changed. I've seen it, and if you're not willing to embrace it as a police leader, you're going to get left behind.
But Catherine, what have the changes that you guys implemented in Lincolnshire, which, as you know, Catherine, is 15 minutes from my house down Milwaukee Avenue, and Sanders and Deerfield Road and all there. So it's literally a town over from where I live up in Northbrook. What type of candidates did you attract, and how did it make it easier for Chief Leonis and the staff in the Lincolnshire PD to attract and hire new officers? What other barriers did you drop? The tattoos and the college education and all that. How did that incentivize others to apply for the job? Or did it?
Mean, I'm not directly involved in hiring, so I don't want to overstate my involvement, but I do know that we recently had two new hires. They've gone through their training, they're swearing in, they went off to the police academy, they're doing their, is it probationary period? Am I saying that correctly? Okay. Several of us went to the swearing in, got to meet the gentlemen, two gentlemen, both very approachable, seem wonderful guys. Both came with huge families to the swearing in, which to me was a
Good.
great
All right.
sign. You know,
Yeah.
this is, and the families were so proud. One of them's an immigrant family from Africa, really great guy. In terms of, so we are now down to, I believe, we have one vacancy, which is a pretty good place to be.
Yeah.
Chief Leonis is of the opinion we're just going to always keep looking because, there's turnover. You want to be open to the good candidates. I think that the barriers of you must have a college degree, no visible tattoos, that kind of thing, they were becoming irrelevant in our society. You know, the idea that being able to communicate with people is really a key thing. That's not necessarily something you learn in college. I used to work in a veterinary teaching hospital, and a lot of those kids that we were training who had been through college, who were in their fourth year of vet school, still couldn't communicate real well, and that's a problem at that stage.
Yeah.
Other people can get that without going to college. Some people have that knack, and those people should not be penalized, and we shouldn't be penalized by not getting to have them in our police force, because from what I have learned, communication is everything. You
Yeah.
need hard skills for when communication doesn't work, but if you can talk your way out of something, if you can calm someone down with your words, that's everything.
That helps out a lot.
And I mean,
So,
tattoos are just a thing now. So, and a lot of the community has the tattoos. So if they see someone who looks like them, I think that increases trust. So
well, if you don't have a
help us
tattoo
show
today,
our force.
well, if you don't have a tattoo today, you're kind of like the odd man out, like me. I don't have any tattoos, and
I don't.
I'm
I
going to
think I
get one
earned
at
this one.
4 o'clock today. So, I got one scheduled just to be part of the cool crowd. So, I'm going
Chad,
to
do you
go
have a
back.
tattoo?
I'm
What's that?
terrified of needles.
Terrified of needles. No tattoos with Chad.
Okay,
Well,
so
there you
I'm the
go.
only one.
You are, well,
There you go.
technically,
Okay.
yes. The
Old lady's got one. Okay.
I get that. Well, you said that, not us.
Yeah, I'm good.
We're not going to get accused of harassment on this on other podcasts. Yes, but not this one. All right, Officer Finnan, what are you seeing out there in your demographic? Right, I would assume you're late 20s, early 30s. Right, it's. I'm 58. I'm the old fart, and it's a different type of mentality, right? Where my generation was different than your generation. Are you seeing that? Because in you're the generation of, oh, let's do experiences, right? You know, it was like I'd rather live in one place for a year than like in Chicago. I like to live in Lincoln Park, then go to Hyde Park, then go to Wicker Park, then go up to Andersonville and bounce around because I want experiences. Back when I wanted, I just wanted an apartment and I don't want to move my crap every year, right? It was a major pain in the rear end. But you know, your generation's different. Are you seeing that your friends and your family would be like, policing, that I never thought of that. Are you breaking down that barrier to you and your friends, family, and others within the community to maybe look at becoming a police officer because you went from rigging to being an officer?
Well, I think I'm a little bit of an old soul. Like my idea of a good time is 5 acres out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I think my generation, my group of people that are like me, I think we're yearning for a sense of community. We grew up with, I mean, it was just one catastrophe after another. I mean, I was in fourth grade with 9/11, and
Oh,
then
geez, yeah.
the end of my childhood was Afghanistan and Iraq, and then we all become adults, and then COVID happens, and it's just been one thing after another for my generation, the younger millennials anyway. But I think because of that, we've really developed this resilience of, back to the basics. Folks are really interested in the homesteading, and sourdough bread baking is this huge thing amongst my peers right now. And it's little weird things like that that back to the basics in redeveloping our community, and what's really important of having a group of friends that you can, or a tight-knit family that you are able to rely on in times of crisis or times of need, really. That's what we're looking at as important. And and tying this back to policing, of the police aren't the only ones responsible for keeping a safe, well livable community. It's the rest of the community's responsibility too. So building the bridge both ways of the community relying on the police department, well, the police department relies on the community just as much. And be it open lines of communication or physical hands-on work of doing it together and living life together, that's where I personally, and I believe my peers agree with me on that, that that's important for a successful community and somewhere where people want to live nowadays.
Yeah, and
have you ever had a pullover? Hang on,
no, go
Kirk.
ahead.
This is a very important
That was
question.
very important.
Yeah, very important because you know it's going to be a smart ass question. How many times have you pulled over a friend of yours that, or in town that you've known just because they've broken the law, or just to bust their chops and give them a hard time?
Well, with my chief on the line
Yeah.
here, never intentionally violate somebody's Fourth Amendment rights just to mess with them, of course. But that is actually a solid reason of why I actually moved away from Collinsville. I interviewed with Collinsville and determined it probably wasn't going to be a good fit because of my family's deep-rooted involvement in the community. I wanted to get away a little bit and spread my own roots, more of a sense of personal fulfillment of I can do this
Yeah.
without relying on the foundation made for me by my family. I'm still heavily involved in my hometown, but it has been great kind of finding my own voice and finding my own method of doing things, which has really helped me develop as an adult.
Got it. All right, Chief. So
No,
you got.
I was just going to comment. It was kind of interesting because when we look at like our volunteers and policing and we have this, and it's interesting that Chad talks about like his generation and stuff. And what we see is I do see a yearning for people of a younger generation to be involved in their communities and to do things where I'm not necessarily seeing the, and maybe we're not providing the opportunities for the volunteerism, because when you look at a lot of our volunteers, and maybe Catherine with up there in Lincolnshire, and Chad can say this around us, but the majority of our volunteers are later in life. You know, it's going to be older adults. It's going to be their kids are grown. They're coming back to help with our community outreach. They're coming back to help with our law enforcement torch run, all those things that we need assistance with. So it would be really nice and to try to get some of those younger people involved in some of that volunteering. And I don't know, Chad, if you can say, you're on that emergency response team over in Collinsville. What is the makeup of your volunteers that do stuff for you there in Collinsville?
I'd say the majority of them are towards the end of their professional life age, so 50s to mid 60s. We had a large group
Thank you
of
for throwing in their professional life
professional
stage,
life,
being
not
that
end of life. Yes,
I'm at 58. I want to thank you for clarifying that.
absolutely. We had a large group of older gentlemen and some ladies who started the group back in the late 50s when we were all worried about the Russians and their nukes and civil defense. That was actually the origins of the group, and through the years it's evolved and adapted to the needs of the local community. And as the state has kind of changed what moving from civil defense to emergency management and the differences that go along with that, they've all kind of gotten to the point where they're not really able to help out as much anymore, but they're still involved. They have a lot of experiential wisdom to share and a lot of good stories of the good old days. And but today the mid-range folks are primarily the ones we're seeing, the ones who are their kids are maybe a little older, maybe just freshly out of the house, and they're looking for something to do. We have our leader. He's a employee for Frito-Lay. He delivers chips. Our number two is an athletic trainer with a local school district. We have several nurses and other healthcare professionals who are just looking for something to do, looking for community engagement.
So, Chief Brueggemann, we've heard Catherine and we've heard Officer, Finnan talk about their, their involvement. Do you have anything like that down in O'Fallon, like a C3PO that Catherine's involved with that brings in the public to get their feedback, or you just don't care what the public in O'Fallon has to say?
No, we don't have anything like they have up in Lincolnshire. The majority of what we're using our volunteers for, like I said earlier, is a lot of our community events and to try to get involved in the community. I know that we've actually been talking with Officer Finnan and our fire chief and one of our lieutenants about starting a program called VIPS, Volunteers in Police or in Public Safety, Volunteers in Public Safety, to kind of help with that because we see the need that when you have these things, I mean, you look around recently, we've been getting hit with tornadoes in St. Louis. We had a tornado touchdown earlier this year in our town. Thankfully, it was towards the far east part of town, and it was just structural damage to some houses. But we've had tornadoes in Marion, all over southern Illinois. There's a lot of talk about Tornado Alley shifting from Kansas over into the Illinois part.
Right.
So, we're seeing an increase in these things. So, like I said earlier, we don't have the resources. Between fire, EMS, police, there's only a certain number of us. So if we can expand upon those numbers and get those people that want to help, they just need to have some direction. They need to have some have the ability because there are people out there that want to help. So if we can provide those programs for them, I think that's kind of what we're looking at in starting our VIPS, our Volunteers in Public Safety. We tried to start this a few years ago with having some people just do some record stuff. And then COVID hit, and then nobody was allowed in the building. So then it kind of went by the wayside. So it's always something that we're kind of looking to do. We don't have anything like up in Lincolnshire, but I am interested. It's an interesting program to get this community involvement and to talk about, what the police what they want from their police department. So it's very interesting.
So, Catherine, how long have you been involved in the C3PO program that Chief Leon has put together up in Lincolnshire?
Since its inception, which I think was 4 years ago, and sometimes I lose track of time, but yeah, it was just his idea. Nobody else was doing anything like it. I mean, that he knew of. I'm sure there is stuff out there, but I can't recommend it strongly enough. It's been very educational. Several of our members have had the time to do ride-alongs. There was the opportunity, unfortunately, I wasn't able to do it. I don't know what it's officially called, but like a simulation of an actual, you go in with a gun and this is the situation, and you have to decide, if, when to shoot, and then you get feedback. And it's used for training, but to put one of us civilians in there is just massively educational
Yeah.
about what it really takes and why there has to be so much training and why that kind of Monday morning quarterbacking, criticizing the police can only go so far. Just very educational. And I would just say, if you want to start a volunteer program, I love the format of ours because we can discuss anything and everything. We've had talks about use of force, but even that the chief has brought in. But if members of the council want to bring something up, he's always open. I would just say, just put the information out there for volunteers. There are people who are going to want to join, whether it's a community council type thing, talking, or if it's actually helping out with public safety. That sounds fabulous.
Catherine, if I have a question for you, what do you think that you're like, what value do you see personally in being on that committee and then volunteering your time for the police department? And do you think that you've become more of an advocate for the police department in your personal life, like as far as with your friends and your family and stuff like that?
That was one of the goals, was for us to be able to talk to the rest of the community with a little bit more knowledge and to pass on the understanding. My involvement is completely selfish. I have learned so much. I feel I know more. I realize how much I don't know, which I think is often the sign of, really getting a grip on things. I would say, I mean, I tend to lean This is not a political discussion, but I tend to lean pretty liberal. So I have lots of friends, not necessarily in the community, but further out, who are very much, oh my God, the police, defund the police. We don't need this. They do everything wrong. And I can just now, I don't think anything is ever black and white. Nobody is good or evil. It's understanding where they're coming from. And so being able to understand a bit more where officers are coming from. I mean, there's nothing going on in Lincolnshire like there is back in Minneapolis, where I'm from, or in Chicago. But having a little more perspective, I think, helps everybody. And yes, when I talk to friends, family, my kids are learning. My kids have a much more comfortable relationship with the police. My daughter, possibly too much so. Like I said, she thinks she owns the police department. She's now 13, very gregarious. But to them, the police are friends and people they can talk to. And, well, just people. You know, they're not necessarily going to be frightened or worried, and they're going to pass that on to their friends, is my hope.
Got it. Well, I got I was going to ask you to, oh, the simulator that you were talking about, strongly encourage you to schedule that because I went through a police citizen policing academy in Northbrook and I was in a shooter situation in a high school. We didn't know where the shooter was and I went through the lunchroom, I went through a hallway and there was a guy standing in the doorway and I asked him to turn around 3 times and he turned around quickly. I nailed him center mass. It was a great shot, but he was holding a flip phone.
Or a sub
And,
sandwich. He was holding a
or,
sandwich.
yeah, well, they gave me the flip phone, those jerks. And instead of the 9mm, and I nailed that son of a bitch. And it was a great shot. But yeah, I'd encourage you to do that and encourage your friends to do that because it is, hopefully, nobody ever has to be in that situation. But thankfully, I was in the situation with a fake gun with a video game, basically, and I didn't kill anybody. That's why I'm not a police officer. I'm gonna throw it to Chad, Officer Finnan. What's the biggest thing that you got out of? You said the camaraderie, a bunch of older folks, old guys like me and gals probably there as part of that community organization, policing and support group. For others out there that are thinking of getting involved in something like that, what type of time constraints are they looking at? What's the commitment? Are you doing like the Army Reserves or the Navy or the Air Force Reserves where you go off for 2 weeks in the summer and you got to go off once, 1 weekend a month? What type of time commitment is there for that type of involvement within that organization?
Well, we're finding that folks that are, first of all, interested in being a part of it, they're interested in being there anyway. So we haven't really had to be heavy-handed at all with a requirement per se. We do have one in policy just for the sake of it, just in case, we do come across that problem. And our requirement is you need to be at one training a year, one planned event a year, and one unplanned call out a year. And if you satisfy those requirements, you can stick around for the next year. We have monthly trainings that we get together. Our group in council, we really bridge the gap between the fire department and the police department in their various roles and responsibilities. All of our members, we try to get them through FEMA's Community Emergency Response Team training. I want to say it's a 40-hour class that FEMA puts out. There's curriculum that's published both for adults. There's actually some high school curriculum too that some high schools across the nation are including as actual graded classes that students can take. It's great stuff. But we do everything from management of a scene, security. We do some exposure to constitutional law and use of force law and what you can do as a citizen, what you can do at the direction of a police officer. We've brought in a helicopter before and gotten to tour a medical helicopter. We had Ameren come through, our local electric utility. Come through last month, and they set up this huge demonstration, one of the engine bays of a bunch of transformers and wires, and they made big sparks and showed us, how the utility system works and just the numerous facets that public safety interacts with in growing our own realization of everything that's involved in keeping the world turning. It's it's a lot, and it's a great experience for the normal Joe citizen to see what all goes into their community.
So, Chief Brugman, what would you like the public to take away from this video slash podcast about getting involved? And, you know, you've got Catherine, the veterinarian, down in up in Lincolnshire by me, 4 years in. Her daughter basically runs a police department. She's deputy chief there under Chief Leonis. We all know that she probably does 90% of the work because you chiefs go off and do whatever you chiefs do
Pretty
and
much.
You just disappear. But you know, you've got that type of involvement, and you know, from Officer, you know, Finnan's experience, what is it, in closing, do you want you know, the public and other chiefs to take away from our 40-minute conversation today?
I think if you're listening to this and you're in the citizen, you want to be involved. I think the best thing to do would be reach out. There's a lot of departments that have organized volunteer groups. I know Fairview Heights has a volunteer group that does a lot of stuff. You know, they get ready for their meetings and stuff like that. But there are so many more departments that just don't have an organized group. And sometimes they don't know, they know they need the help, but they don't know where to get it from. So if you're in your community, you have so many specialties. There are so many people that do things really well in their community. Are you a good photographer? Do you take good pictures? Police departments are always looking for somebody to come out to community events and take pictures. Maybe come to City Hall, maybe come to a swearing in or a promotion ceremony and take photographs. You know, are you good at website development? Are you just a nice person and you can greet people? You know, maybe they have that there. Do you have IT skills? Do you have a comfort dog? There's everybody has some kind of a specialty. And if you have that, you can always reach out to your public safety department and say, hey, I do this. If there's ever a chance that you need some help with this, I'd be willing to help out with this. I'd be willing to take some photographs for you. I'd be willing to come in and do some things. You know, they may not have anything for you right away, but you leave your name, and sooner or later, there's going to come up something, you know, that you might be able to help out with. We're always looking for help for different things. So I think if you have some kind of a specialty and you can offer that service to your police department, we're always looking for free services, because we're running on taxpayer dollars. So
right.
Anytime we can get something out there and get some assistance to help our community, and it doesn't cost us a lot of money, we're great with it.
Would it be the community relations officer? Would it be the, you know, who should they contact? You know, like, hey, I want to talk to the chief about getting involved. I mean, you guys are, I know I bust your chops all the time, but you guys are doing 400 different things, right? You're doing budgets. You're at City Hall. You're in Springfield. It wouldn't be the chief, would it? It could be
anybody. It could be any kind of officer. You could come up to the station. You could talk to the records clerks. You could talk to an officer and say, hey, this is what I've got. I'm interested in getting involved. Realistically, every one of our officers, if you came up and saw Officer Finnan on the side of the road and said, hey, I'm interested in getting involved in the police department and I'd like to do something, here's my number, I would expect that Chad would come back to the station and talk to his sergeant, talk to one of the lieutenants, and said, hey, I met this person out here, and this is what they can do. They're interested in getting involved. And you know what? We'd be able to do that. I think we look for our officers to be our advocates, to be out there and recruiting our volunteers, recruiting our next officers. So if you just happen to see an officer out at a Quick Trip or a Moto Mart or a Circle K or whatever, you know, and you're, hey, just go up and talk to them. We appreciate that. We don't mind it at all. Now, we don't want you to, if you see an officer sitting on the side of the road, we don't want you to come bang on their door real quickly. That kind of spooks us a little bit. But other than that, I think, you know, just come up and talk to us. I think you can talk to any officer, and every officer should be able to bring that information back.
And for everybody from the northern part of the state, everything that the chief just mentioned, those are big gas stations around the central part of Illinois. I just want to throw that out there.
What do you have up north?
We got Thornton's and
that's right.
You know, we've got our own gigantic gas station. So I'm gonna throw it out there. I just got a text from Chief Leonis volunteering Catherine to be on every police officer's public, you know, service to get started, because she did such a great job there in Lincolnshire. So Congratulations. You've been nominated by your chief to take over the entire state to get the program up and running. But in closing, I'll throw it to you, Kat, first, and then over to Officer Finnan. What is it, just like I asked Chief Brugman, what is it that you want the public to know from your involvement and to encourage them to get involved?
Well, first, I want to see a copy of that text before I believe
Yeah,
anything.
well, it's personal, it's private, and I can't do that right now. It's privileged, as they say. It's privileged, and I've been in enough lawsuits. It's privileged and confidential. So there you go.
I would say just ask. Our council, I think, came about because of some conversations that Chief Leonis had with a community member. The community member was ha had questions about policing and just, and that sparked the idea. So, if you want to volunteer, even if there isn't a program, just ask. Say, hey, I'd like to know more. I'd like to get involved. Can I help set something up? Maybe if there isn't someone in your local department who has the time to set up the meetings, provide some of that. Say, okay, well, I'll find some people and I'll try and find a time that works for everybody. Take some of the load off them if that's, the thing. Just offer. Just ask. Worst thing that happens is, I'm sorry, we can't, but you've tried.
Got it.
More likely you're going to get a yes, I think.
Yeah, most likely you are. From my experience with the chiefs on this podcast, they're always looking for help. They always want to get the public more involved. And last but not least, we'll save the best for last there, Officer Finnan, with your experience in community service and community participation, and just to encourage others to get involved, what would be the your word to the masses here about the rewards and the fulfillment that you've received and experienced during your participation in the programs that you've been part of?
Well, I would say I really appreciate your comments earlier, Dave, and Catherine, your comments from earlier in the episode of, police officers are people too. And if you want to come up and find me at the park and knock on my window and have a conversation, like that's the highlight of my day. Police officers operate so much that on the stigma of we only exist when it's time to take somebody to jail. And bridging that gap and having conversations and understanding each other and we all live in the same community. We're all about the same purposes and goals, and I think getting in and being a part of that is so enlightening and would so it would proactively solve so many issues that we're dealing with in modern policing today of understanding our shared purposes.
Kirk, you want to end it with something, or do we cover everything?
No, I think we covered it. That was great. Good stuff by Chad Finn in there. Appreciate it. And Catherine, I appreciate you guys coming on. It's pretty awesome to have people involved. So I just say, if you're out there, get involved. Like Catherine said, ask. The worst they can say is no. I mean, it's, if we don't have anything for you to do, I'm not going to have you come sit around and do nothing. But a lot of times there are things that we can have you do throughout the year, and we need all the help we can get. We need all of our advocates out there. So appreciate it.
I would say, short of cleaning the guns, there's something that the public could do at their local police station to help the officers out.
If you're good at cleaning guns, mine can use a good cleaning right now. So, if you're out there listening, come up to Yeah. Actually, Chad's one of our armors, aren't you, Chad?
No,
Oh, no. You're going to be.
as a matter of fact, I need to clean mine probably.
I do too.
All right, well, this has been another outstanding episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. Thank you to Catherine. Thank you to Chad. Thank you to Chief Brugman for making time today. Once again, if you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, give me a call, Team Hochberg, 855-563-2843, or go to our website, 56david.com.